This is Audible.
Audible Studios presents Luca, written by Sarah Brian, performed by Aaron Landon.
Prologue. The story behind the scar. A story of sadness, grief, and torture. 7 months ago in January. Pulling his classic black Cadillac onto the side of the street, he positioned himself to watch the house. Then he looked at the clock, seeing he had timed it perfectly. School's out. He flipped his lighter open and closed, waiting for her return. Luca had never been good at sitting still, nor was he a very patient man when he was tired. The night before had been a long one, and his body still felt it. Regardless, he had enjoyed every second of it. Last night, he had lain Mr. Johnson to rest and held up his promise of fucking the blonde until she regretted it. Both things had satiated his dark side. For now, anyway. Luca flipped the lighter closed as a stuck-up BMW pulled into the driveway. He had never trusted a German car. The only good thing about it was its black paint color. A strawberry blonde exited the car. Elle Buchanan. He couldn't help his sneer. His little brother was in big fucking trouble. Watching her walk to the front door, he believed the girl only got prettier the more you looked at her. It's going to be a shame when I have to strangle the life out of her. One thing was for sure. The girl was going to die, and nothing could save her. It was unfortunate she had been there when the trigger had been pulled, but some girls were just born unlucky, this one in particular. She only had another month to her 18th birthday, and then, the end. The stuck-up-looking car reversed, drawing his attention back to it. He wondered who would drop off a girl in this neighborhood, driving that car. Truthfully, he was a little shocked this was the address, considering the girl had come from a prep school. His gut told him to follow the car. Anyone Elle hung out with could possibly be collateral damage if her fucking mouth blabbed too much. Looking at the clock again, he noticed there was a bit of time before Elle left for work, so he started his car, deciding to follow the BMW. He kept a good distance from it, following in a direction he hadn't been expecting. This part of town was mostly owned by the city, along with some expensive restaurants and shops. Watching the car pull into one of the most expensive shops in town, he parked on the street and pulled out his cell phone, texting the license plate number to a friend. Then he waited in anticipation, curiosity slowly eating away at him, only growing worse when the car door opened. He immediately knew it was a woman when tall black boots and black jeans hit the ground. The next thing he noticed was her long, silky hair. It was the blackest hair he had ever seen. He desperately wanted a glimpse of her face, but she never turned around. Therefore, Luca found himself turning off the car and getting out, wondering how this felt more important than anything else he could do with his time. His instincts kept him going, following her into the store. Luca prided himself on being able to go unnoticed. His appearance of dark jeans, black shirts, and black sweatshirts allowed him to do just that. Plus his scruffy face and hair. He could go places no one in the family could. Made men demanded attention with their suits and immaculate grooming, whereas he didn't need that kind of attention. I have other ways to get the attention I demand. Entering the store undetected was easy with all the expensive shit it held. He navigated the store, finding the girl in all black who seemed to be looking for a particular piece. A slight glimpse of the left side of her face revealed her soft porcelain skin. He stalked closer. Have I seen her before? Another small glimpse revealed her young age. Stopping, he was about to turn around. She's too young. But then the girl turned and went back to a table she had already passed. His heart stopped for a beat when he saw the whole left side of her face and a striking gray eye. The other half was covered by a veil of hair. He wished he could reach out to feel the pure black strands of silk and move it to reveal the rest of her face. Leave now. Nothing good would come of this. He should have left the moment he had noticed she was just a teenage girl. However, though he was unable to place it yet, something about her called to him, kept him from looking away from her and leaving. The whole thing felt so wrong, yet so right. He was being pulled in different directions. His mind told him to leave, but his body kept him patiently waiting. Watching her hand go up to her face, he felt his breath catch when she swept her hair behind her ear. Fuck. His heart skipped another beat at the sight of her face in its entirety. His eyes traveled down the right side of her gorgeous face that held a scar from above her eyebrow down to the hollow of her cheek. Another one graced above and below her luscious lips. The instinct to let his fingertips glide down each mark was so strong, he thought he might break his cover. Her gray eyes held the story behind the scar, a story of sadness, grief, and torture. It was like staring at a perfect porcelain doll that had been dropped one too many times. Others would see a flaw in the cracked doll, making her no longer perfect, but he saw only beauty. She was the most beautiful creature he had ever seen. The gold ornate piece she was infatuated with was unfamiliar to him until she opened the egg-shaped object and music began to play. Her eyes danced as she watched a ballerina twirl to the music. He wondered what it would feel like if she looked at him that way. "It's a beautiful piece, isn't it?" an older woman who looked to be the store owner asked as she came up to her. The girl startled, shutting the music box. He wanted her to go back to the way she had been a moment before. He could watch her study the delicate piece with gentle hands for hours. When her tongue peeked out to lick her lips, he eagerly waited to hear her voice. Yes. She went back to looking at the box, avoiding the woman's gaze. How much is it?
$3,000.
She removed her fingers from the piece.
Oh.
The woman kindly smiled.
I know Christmas just passed, but you could always ask for it for your birthday, maybe. I could hold it.
She shook her head.
Thank you, but it's too much.
The lady continued to smile.
Well, you could always come back if you talk your parents into it.
Thank you.
The girl took one last glance at the music box before she left the store. Watching her leave was harder than he thought it would be. He wouldn't be able to come out of the store until she pulled out. Therefore, he had to watch her go to the car through the display window, and that wasn't close enough for him. A vibration in his pocket had him pulling out his cell phone. He didn't say a word when he accepted the call. His friend Sal came over the phone.
The BMW is registered to Maxwell Masters.
That wasn't what he had expected, though it explained why he felt like he had seen her before.
Girl?
Luca spoke into the phone carefully, watching her approach the driver's side of her BMW.
He's married to Elaine Master...
Younger. He cut him off. Sal paused.
Scars.
Luca's eyes traced her markings.
Yes. That's Maxwell's daughter, Chloe Masters.
He ended the call with the push of a button. Time stood still for him as he soaked in anything and everything he could about her before she disappeared into the car. There was always a moment one faced in life when a choice had to be made, and this was his. Her tortured soul called to his Dark One, whispering for him to save her. His heart was now slow and steady, finding its purpose. Chloe Masters. Taking one last look at the scars on her face, he couldn't wait for the day he could run his fingers across it. Beautiful. Chapter 1. Mine. Lucas sat at the desk in his home office, running his hands through his hair and trying to take deep breaths. The image of her had yet to leave his mind. His fingers still itched to trace her gorgeous markings. He wanted her, regardless of her age. And nothing is going to stop me. He had very seldom wanted anything in his life. The first had been becoming a made man, and the second had been becoming the underboss. Both things he had accomplished at a very young age. Being just 26 years old, he was the youngest underboss in the history of the Caruso family, and had become maid at the age of 17, which was also the youngest anyone in the family had ever been maid. What he had done to become maid was something that would send most grown men to the psych ward, but not Luca. Luca was born with a dark side. He had realized at a young age he wasn't like the rest of the world. The only emotions he ever felt were when he caused pain. At first, it didn't take much, just simply pinching another kid until he cried. It brought him joy and contentment. Slowly through the years, though, he needed more and more to bring those feelings back. Now, 26 years later, he was a full-blown monster, craving nothing but blood and chaos. Turning on his computer, he searched the internet, putting in the name that called to him. When an image of her popped up, his heart began to hum in his chest. It was a picture of a much younger her, the scars much fresher, bright red, and unlike the faint pink he had seen today. To put it simply, they looked gruesome on her perfect porcelain face. Zooming in, he gripped the mouse tighter, seething with pure anger. He knew all too well they were caused by a knife. The cuts were clean and precise, at a calculated depth to cause immense pain in those sensitive areas and to scar her for life. Whoever the fuck touched her better be dead. Going back to the search, he looked for who had marked her, but the only thing that came up was a car wreck from 3 years ago. Reading the old newspaper article, he found out that her father, Maxwell Masters, was the one behind the wheel that night, and that her scars were blamed on the windshield glass breaking and hitting her in the face. Bullshit. Luca went back to the photo of Chloe, now zooming out to reveal her father getting sworn in as the mayor of Kansas City, Missouri. Not a single scratch was on him, confirming what he already knew. The thirst for blood now coursed through his veins. He was going to do anything and everything to find out what had happened to her. Anyone who had anything to do with it would be buried 6 feet under by the time he was done. Looking at her bitch of a father and mother, he had a feeling the list was going to be quite long. They will all die. He went back to his search of her, wanting to learn everything he could. Seeing a much more recent picture of her at some function, he stared at the image, his heart humming even louder, somewhat satiating his bloodthirst. Fuck, he wanted her more than he had wanted to be made or become the underboss. His gut twisted at thinking about how long he was going to have to wait for her to become 18. He wasn't sure how he was going to keep himself from taking her, unused to these strong feelings. Her tortured eyes seemed to be screaming at him to save her, only making his urges worse. Putting a cigarette to his lips, he flipped open the lid to his cold metal lighter before burning the end and taking a long drag. Smoking always gave him something to do and focus on when his sick, twisted urges came upon him. He only hoped it was going to help him stay away from Chloe as well. Flipping the lid closed, he placed his Zippo back on his desk before looking at the recent picture of her once more. One single thought entered his mind. Mine. Chapter 2. If salvation is what you seek, violence is not the answer. Luca waited in the tiny dark room, wondering why his feet brought him here in the first place. The only times he had ever come here were when he thought about his mother. However, not since his mother had died had he ever sought penance. Penance was for those seeking absolution. He wasn't that type of man. Luca only sought retribution. A swiping noise had him lifting his eyes to the intricate window where hardly any light filtered through. He could see the shadow of the older man on the other side of the wall. The thought of leaving entered his mind, but instead, words came out like it had been just yesterday since he had last spoken them. "Forgive me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been a long time since my last confession." As Luca sat there quietly, unable to find words past that, the figure behind the wall said, "Yes, my son. My mother used to make me come here to confess when I was younger, but when I joined the family, she couldn't get me here anymore. I still remember the day I joined. She begged and pleaded with me to come here. I told her there was no saving me after what I did. She used to joke, saying there was a demon inside of me. That was the day she realized there really was. I'll never forget the look in her eyes when she saw me for who I really am. When she saw nothing but pure evil." Luca paused for a brief moment. "Still, somehow, even up until she was murdered, she believed there was a way to save me. That somehow I could still seek salvation after all I've done. Is that what you're here for now? To find salvation?" The knowing voice filled the space between them. Gray eyes stared back at him in his mind. "Yes." "Then you must repent, my son. I'm not looking for God's type of salvation." The priest went silent for a moment. "Then what kind of salvation are you looking for?" Now, in his mind, his fingers traced the scar following the path from her eyebrow down to her cheek, before traveling down to trace the scar over her pouty lips. "My salvation comes in a 17-year-old girl." "The rules, Luca." "You know very well I'm aware we're not to touch anyone underage. Have you..." The priest wasn't able to finish his sentence, afraid of the answer he might hear. "I am guilty of the worst sins, Father, but I'm not here to repent any sins I've committed. I'm here to ask for forgiveness of what I might do, will do." It was a question of when, not if. "You ask for forgiveness for your future, but not your past." Even though there was a wall separating them, the old man's perplexity was evident through his voice. "The things I'm going to do to her, for her, I'm afraid will be the worst crimes I'll ever commit."
"If salvation is what you seek, violence is not the answer."
"Violence is always the answer. Like I said, I'm not looking for God's type of salvation. My salvation will come as I lay my hands upon her, the very hands that have taken the life from the bodies of those who have touched her. Luca went to leave the room, but the priest's voice halted him.
I've seen you sitting in my church every once in a while since after your mother's passing when you think no one is here to see you. God has seen you too. I think you want forgiveness for all of your sins, my son.
Maybe you're right, Father. Maybe a part of me hoped to find a path to my mother again, but the path I'm on now will only lead me straight to hell.
As he walked out of the room, he could hear the helpless prayers of the father and the beads tightening as he gripped the rosary around his neck. The prayers weren't for Luca, but for the souls the boogeyman was about to claim. Chapter 3. The Being Behind the Door. Present Time. The cold metal table underneath her was a stark contrast to her burning face from what seemed like pointless crying.
Please, stop.
No amount of kicking and fighting was a match for what felt like millions of hands holding her down. The laughter from the evil man who held a knife rang through her ears mockingly.
Stay still, little girl. He drew the knife closer to her face, or it'll just hurt worse.
Looking at his abnormally large black eyes, she was sure she was looking into the eyes of the devil. The silver blade inched closer and closer to her right eye until it was mere centimeters from her pupil. Don't blink. A tear welled up in her eye, making it even harder to keep her eye open. Her body began to tremble. She was going to blink.
Don't blink, little girl, he warned her again.
The tear fell, and her eye started to close.
Chloe!
Amo's voice boomed. A flicker of light entered her mind.
This way, Chloe!
Amo pleaded. Another flicker of light had her eyes shooting open. Sitting up so abruptly made her feel lightheaded. The bed, along with the big room, was one she didn't recognize, which made her heart pound like a drum in her ears. The last thing she remembered was pulling up to the airport, so close to her freedom. And then someone came up behind her, and she blacked out.
No, he's got me, and no one knows I'm even here.
Chloe shakily stood from the bed, going over to the nightstand. She reached her hand out.
The devil will kill me this time. He promised he would.
Once she opened the expensive gold music box, the familiar lullaby began to play. It was then she realized that it couldn't be hers. Chloe stepped toward the huge window with a hitch in her breath. She slowly reached out to pull back the curtain.
No one will save me this time.
Pulling back the curtain, she held her breath as she was greeted with a beautiful garden, along with the white gazebo she had found herself under before with. The door creaked open, and Chloe turned to meet the being behind the door.
Hey, darling.
The dark voice made her gasp for air. The blood in her veins slowly turned to ice, freezing her in place. Goosebumps began to trickle down her body from one look of those blue-green eyes. She tried to form a thought. Her mouth even tried to form a word she wasn't even capable of thinking, yet nothing came out. The only thing she was left with was simply watching Luca enter the room, closing the door behind him. Going over to the bedside table, she watched as Luca ran his finger over the ornate box that was still playing the lullaby she had been only able to hear in her memories.
He then slowly closed the lid, bringing silence to the room. When he moved again, Chloe found herself still gasping for air as he took a seat in a chair that sat in the corner. Moments seemed to pass under his unwavering gaze. He didn't speak, seeming content to just sit there and watch her. With the distance between them and the deafening silence getting to her, she tried again to find words.
How did I?
Her voice trailed off, losing confidence when his eyes seemed to trail down her body.
How did you get here?
He asked, raising an eyebrow. She slowly nodded.
I brought you here.
If he hadn't said it so matter-of-factly, she would have thought she misheard him.
Why?
A matter-of-fact answer didn't come out. Instead, you could see him thinking carefully about his next words. His eyes seemed to turn green while his words began to envelop her, his voice almost warm.
I brought you here to save you.
Chloe unconsciously wrapped her arms around herself, trying to keep the warmth from his voice, as she took one step toward him.
Save me from what?
With one blink, Luca's eyes turned back to his strange shade of blue-green, making her feel like she imagined them turning green. The warmth in his voice seemed to have been in her imagination as well.
To save you from making the mistake of leaving.
What?
Why would you do that? Why would you care?
Anger coursed through her. She had barely tasted freedom from this city, only for it to have been taken from her.
A smile touched his lips.
I guess you'll just have to wait and see, darling.
Her eyes went wide at his cynical tone. She quickly lost any confidence she had gained from her anger. For a moment, she thought she had seen something different in him, but now she saw only the darkness in him. The smile on his face brought back the memory of the night he revealed his true self.
Crack.
The sound of broken bones greeted her ears as a baseball bat slammed down onto a limp body.
Snap.
Another flash of the bat making contact with the man's leg, the man who lay practically lifeless on the floor. He raised the bat once more, pausing only to look her in the eyes. An evil pair of blue-green eyes stared back at her, making her blood run cold. She watched his hands grip the neck of the bat with a force so intense, she was positive it was going to shatter before the bat was brought down for its final time.
Crunch.
As she watched the man inhale the air around him, he looked crazed, his appearance disheveled. Then he slicked his overgrown hair back in place, and you could see the slight smile come to his lips. Taking the small step back she had taken forward, she realized the true danger she was in.
Are you going to hurt me?
She saw something flash in his eyes, his smile disappearing. As he got up from the chair, Chloe held her breath once more. Then, as he stalked toward her, she backed up as far as she could with each step he took toward her until her back met the wall. Luca stopped when his body was mere inches from hers, leaning down ever so slightly to bring his tall stature closer to hers.
Have I ever hurt you, Chloe?
His voice was an octave deeper, coming out darker than she had ever heard him speak before. She slowly shook her head, afraid not to answer the demon who had her in his grasp. His gaze trailed down the scar that ran from her eyebrow to her cheek, making her swear she could almost feel his light caress.
Please, can I go?
She pleaded, fearing what her future might hold from this moment forward. Luca stared down at her, bringing his hand up close to her face.
I don't think you understand.
Chloe's breath caught in her throat. She desperately wanted to close her eyes, but his wouldn't let her, forcing her to remain looking up at him.
There is no leaving, he continued, careful not to touch her, though he twirled a strand of her silky black hair around his finger. You're mine now, Chloe.
He dropped the strand, and it fell upon her chest that was now rising and falling heavily. Watching the demon back up toward the nightstand, she started to realize that the devil was never her worst nightmare. Luca opened the music box once more, letting her lullaby fill the room, before disappearing and closing her inside her new prison.
He is the boogeyman.
Her legs gave out, and she slowly sunk to the floor. She grasped her legs close to her chest as the beautiful melody started to trail off, almost coming to an end.
You're mine now, Chloe.
Chapter 4. If I catch you, I won't be able to stop myself. The devil had been the one to always haunt her, but he never came. In his place was the boogeyman, promising her his kidnapping was going to be so much worse than her first by the devil. Chloe stayed unmoving on the floor for what seemed like hours, now completely numb as she stared at the wall in front of her. It wasn't until the sun rose, shining through the room and warming her skin, that her eyes moved to her luggage that Luca must have brought in with her.
My cell phone.
Quickly going to her bags, she desperately began looking for her phone.
It's gone.
It was then that Luca's words hit her.
There is no leaving.
With her bag open, she caught a glimpse of her gold music box. Reaching in, she pulled out the fragile, broken piece, taking it to the nightstand and setting it beside the polished, unbroken one. Seeing them side by side, she realized how much damage the one she'd had since childhood had taken. It had been severely cracked, leaving it unable to play the lullaby she had once heard every night before falling asleep. Turning the key on the polished one, she began listening to the tune.
How did he get this? How did he know?
As the song played, realization hit, taking her back to 7 months ago when she went into a little shop that had the old music box for sale. Every now and then, she would check the internet for the piece, seeing if she could somehow find it again, allowing her to hear the tune once more. Finally, her dream had come true when a shop close to where she lived posted it for sale on their website. She had gone the next day, able to hear the tune for just a moment before the owner had told her the price for the piece was $3,000. It was just a little later when she... Chloe opened the door to the shop, heading straight to the spot where she had seen the beautiful box just a week before. However, looking at the display table, she saw it was gone. Figuring it might have been moved, she scanned the shop.
Hello?
The familiar older woman's voice greeted her.
Hi. I'm so sorry to tell you, but if you're looking for the music box, I sold it just yesterday.
Wringing her hands, Chloe looked down at the floor, covering her face in a veil of hair.
Oh, I tried waiting for you, but a man came in right after you left, wanting it. I refused to sell it to him, but then he came back yesterday, offering me more money and explaining why he had to have it. I'm really sorry.
It's okay. I wasn't able to afford it anyway. I just wanted to hear it one more time.
Closing the music box Luca had left open, She silenced the room once more as she tried to grasp the fact that Luca had this in his possession for 7 months now.
Why?
Never did she see this coming from Luca of all people. He was the brother to her best friend's boyfriend, Nero.
He couldn't just kidnap me without anyone knowing, right?
Glancing around the room, she suddenly realized what she hadn't before. She was in their family home, so someone would have to come by.
Maria.
Luca and Nero's sister lived here.
She will help me.
Going to the door, she put her hand on the doorknob, taking a deep breath before she slowly turned it, easily pulling the door open. Peeking out into the hall to see if the coast was clear, she tried her best to navigate to Maria's room, which she had only been in once before when she had come over with Elle. Believing she found the correct room, she quietly knocked on the door. When there was no response, she carefully opened it to find that she had indeed found the correct room, but there was no Maria.
Come with me.
A deep, unfamiliar voice came from behind her, scaring her in place.
Now,
he boomed when she didn't move to turn around. Slowly turning, she saw a huge man in a suit before he turned himself around and walked down the hall and toward the stairs. Her feet reluctantly began to move, afraid that the big man would find other means to get her to come with him if she didn't do it herself. Following him down the steps, through the foyer, and then to the big open floor plan of the main living room with kitchen, that was when she saw him.
I caught her going into your sister's room,
the big suited man told him before he stood against the wall, crossing his arms. She watched Luca give a slight smile as he poured himself a cup of coffee.
Come sit down, darling. Luca said, motioning to the stool at the big kitchen island.
With the two men staring her down, she felt like she had no choice. Therefore, she cautiously made her way toward Luca, taking a seat while he watched her every move. Letting her hair fall around her face, she stared down at her wringing hands, no longer able to see him looking at her. It didn't help much. She could still feel his eyes studying her. Taking a sip of his coffee, he spoke.
You look tired today.
Her nails began to dig into her palms. Setting down his cup, he went to a kitchen cabinet and pulled out another mug. Then he filled it up with the dark liquid before putting it in front of her. Staring at the cup of coffee, she didn't make a move for it. Still digging her nails into her palms.
I'm no
drink,
Luca commanded. Her lids lifted to meet his eyes that were just as commanding as his demand. When she found herself reaching for the coffee, she couldn't understand why she easily did what he ordered. After taking a big enough gulp to satiate him, she set the cup back down, finding the warm liquid was much needed to her chilled body.
Now, Luca took another sip of his own. My family is staying at my father's casino for a while. I've told them the house is no longer safe, so no one will come here until I give them word that it's safe again.
How long is for a while?
She quietly spoke, once again wringing her hands at his cold words.
That's going to depend on you.
She raised her head and looked up at him.
Me?
Reading her confusion, he continued.
When I can trust that you won't run from me.
Chloe blinked at him several times.
You're not going to kill me?
He smiled down at her. It was obvious he had different plans for her.
No, darling.
What does he want from me?
She took another drink from her mug to warm her chilled body while she thought about her next few words.
So I'm your prisoner?
A predatory look came upon him, liking the way she had claimed herself as his prisoner.
Only for as long as you make it.
Now her nails pierced her skin.
I have to leave, Luca told her.
With a final drink of his coffee, he nodded his head toward the suited man with his back against the wall.
Drago will be your shadow from now on. He will be watching you for me.
Her blood ran cold. She became motionless at the thought of being alone with the unknown stranger all day. Sensing her distress, Luca's voice rang through her ears.
Chloe, he will not touch you unless you give him no option. Do you understand?
The nails in her palms went deeper as she nodded, unable to vocalize an answer. Luca took a step to leave, but stopped.
If you try to make a run for it, you'll be lucky if he catches you.
He paused for a brief instant before his voice turned so dark that it sent every hair on her body straight up.
If I catch you, I won't be able to stop myself from taking what I want the moment I saw you.
Blood trickled in her palms. It wasn't a threat he was making. It was a promise. Chapter 5. This is going to end in war.
Do you think you can tell me now why the fuck my men rushed me and my family out of my home yesterday?
Dante spat at him the moment Luca sat down in his office in the casino hotel. Luca lit the end of his cigarette, desperately needing it for the conversation he was about to have with his father.
It's no longer safe there.
What do you mean, it's no longer safe? My home has always been safe.
That's exactly why I need it.
However, the details couldn't be given to Dante just yet.
When the threat is gone, you, Maria, and Leo may come back.
Dante slammed his hand down on his desk.
Fuck's sake, Luca. Threat? What fucking threat?
Hitting his ashes out in the ashtray, he figured he was going to have to give up something for now.
I got Luciano's man to talk.
Shit.
Picking up his liquor glass, his father drained the contents, knowing exactly who Luca was talking about. The Lucianos were another family who owned a small portion of Kansas City, and up until 7 months ago, the two families had been at peace. Recently, one of the casino hotel's penthouses had been under attack when Luciano's man broke in. He thankfully had been unsuccessful in targeting Luca's sister, Maria. They couldn't taint the Luciano name by throwing out accusations without any evidence. What they needed was a rat that squealed.
As your underboss, I'm telling you that the less I tell you, the better. The penthouses are now the safest place for everyone. Stay here until it's over.
Rubbing his temples, Dante finally nodded in agreement.
Does anyone in the family know about this?
Two do. Sal?
Luca took a hit off his cigarette, knowing his father wouldn't be surprised with Sal's name, but would likely with the next.
And Drago.
His father's icy blue eyes flashed at him.
God damn it, Luca. You're taking him from me, aren't you?
Yes.
He gave the grave answer his father didn't want to hear.
You will have all the rest of your men protecting you, Maria, and Leo here. I'm asking for just him. I need his help and his protection elsewhere.
He could see his father contemplating on whether he was going to allow his most skilled and deadliest man to leave his side to join Luca's. Dante, as the boss, and Luca, as the underboss, both had to have men by their sides at all times. men they needed to command and ask things of they themselves couldn't fulfill. Luca's right hand was Sal. Not only was Sal his best friend who was like a brother to him, but he was skilled in different ways than Luca. Luca never needed protection, being deadly enough of his own accord. What he did need was information, and Sal was gifted with a brain that didn't work like any others in the Caruso family. He was a highly intelligent individual, able to hack into any computer in under a minute. To put it simply, Sal was irreplaceable. However, Drago was something completely different. Dante was the highest target on the family tree. He didn't need a man, he needed a tank. A tank that could take several bullets without flinching and still move forward to kill the men who stood in his way. Drago was a skilled killer of the deadliest kind, the kind who had no weaknesses, the kind who would never greet death because he was death. Luca sat somewhere between those two men, having the skills and intellect, but it was his sadistic, twisted, demented mind that made him the worst of all. With him commanding the two men under him, there wasn't going to be anything or anyone to stand in his way. The three together could desolate all of Kansas City, if that was what he wished. Dante nodded once more, agreeing to let his right hand go until the job was done. It didn't matter much to Luca if he had agreed to it or not. Drago was only going to be under his command, and Luca would have done whatever it took to make it so, even if he had to put a bullet in his own father's skull. He would have to protect her. Putting his cigarette out in the ashtray, he got up to leave.
"This is going to end in war, isn't it?"
Luca's voice went cold as he looked back over his shoulder. "The war started years ago. We just didn't realize it." "Where is she?" Luca asked the moment Drago entered the living room.
"She's still in her room."
Luca stared at him, dumbfounded. "She hasn't left it?" Drago shook his head.
"No, she's just staring at the wall."
Furious, Luca went into his office, shutting himself inside. "Fuck." He slammed his hands down on his desk before angrily swiping the contents off and smashing them onto the floor. He was trying to be as nice to her as he could, letting her come out on her own after she was comfortable, but she hadn't come out in 2 days. The only time she had come out of the room had been on the morning of the first day. He wanted her to be comfortable here, to be comfortable with him, but Chloe was making it difficult. A knock sounded on the door.
"Come in."
"Everything all right?"
Drago asked, opening the door. Nodding, he almost let Drago close the door before he stopped him.
"I need you to do something for me."
Taking up the whole double door doorframe, Drago waited for his order.
"Tell her, if she wants dinner, she has to come downstairs."
Luca paused for a brief second, deciding to continue his order.
"Tell her that if she wants to eat again, she has to leave that fucking room."
Drago nodded before leaving, closing the door behind him. Over the last 2 days, Luca had seemed to forget that he wasn't going to baby her like the rest of her little friends had.
"Being nice never worked for me anyway."
Chapter 6. Playing with Fire. Chloe sat on the bed, staring at the wall, her stomach growling even louder now. She hadn't eaten since lunch yesterday, and had only been able to eat a couple of bites of her sandwich then.
"If you're hungry, you will eat downstairs from now on.
Her mind repeated the words the huge man named Drago had said. She felt like she would rather starve than have to leave the safety of her room. It was strange, but something in her told her that, as long as she was in the room, they couldn't harm her, like they were giving it to her as a safe haven. She had come to this conclusion over the course of the 3 days, because she hadn't been touched, and now Luca was trying to draw her out.
Yep, I'll starve.
There was a knock on the door before Drago entered.
Dinner is ready.
Chloe held her arms tighter to her.
No, thank you.
Hearing him sigh made her look over at him. No emotion had been shown by the man. Every time he had come in, he had simply said in very few words that food had been prepared, only for him to leave right after.
You're playing with fire.
Drago's brownish-red eyes glowed at her.
You'd be wise to realize this door doesn't lock from the inside. Even if it did, it wouldn't stop him from coming up here and beating the door down if you keep disrespecting him. If you're smart, you will get your ass down there while he still has a little patience left.
The door slamming behind him made her practically jump off the bed.
You're playing with fire.
Her eyes moved to the doorknob that held no lock, proving to her that she wasn't as safe as she had thought she was in this room. She didn't know what to do. She was just trying to figure out which option gave her the best chance of survival. In the end, though, she knew Luca was going to get what he wanted from her, and it wasn't going to matter if she was on this side of that door or the other. Taking a deep breath, she followed the path to her captor, taking her time as she slowly dragged her feet. With each step, she could feel the life she thought she was going to have in California slip through her fingers. Downstairs, she lifted her eyes to see Luca sitting at the dining room table. With the slight smile he gave through his eyes upon seeing her, she felt that life fully slip away until it was just a dream. Luca motioned for her to join him.
Sit down, darling.
Looking at the table, she saw two plates already filled, one in front of Luca, who sat at the head of the table, and the other in front of the chair next to him. Chloe was going to have to sit close to him, and by the look on his face, that was exactly what he wanted.
I should have.
She realized her mistake then, that her chances were better off in the room.
Sit.
His voice came out harsher. She could no longer feel possession of her own feet as she walked up to the table, following his order. His eyes turned green for the briefest moment as she stared down at him, holding her breath, while carefully taking the chair. It was almost like looking into the eyes of a different man. She saw something unusual in them, but before she could figure it out, they flashed, and his normal shade of blue-green was back. She looked down at her clutched hands in her lap.
Thank you for joining me for dinner. I'm not sure what foods you like, but I hope you like this.
She glanced at her plate of chicken parmesan and noodles, then back up at him. He seemed proud of his dish.
You made this?
Luca smiled as he picked up his fork and knife.
Yes. Why do you look surprised?
Sorry, you just don't look...
Her eyes drifted to his black t-shirt that hugged his broad muscles before she snapped her eyes back to her plate.
Like the cooking type.
I got sick of ordering pizza after my mother died, so I taught myself to cook.
His voice seemed to have turned somber. Although Nero had told her once that their mother had died, she felt like Luca had just revealed something very personal to her.
Why?
Is something wrong?
He asked. She realized she had picked up her fork and began picking at her food. Setting the fork back down, she could barely get the words out.
Why am I here?
I already told you.
I brought you here to save you.
Seeing that he still believed that made her realize he was even more insane than she had ever thought. Luca needed to be the one locked up, not her. She couldn't understand the point in keeping her here. She just wished he would do what he wanted to her already and put her out of her misery.
You're just going to keep me locked in that room forever?
I never said you had to stay in that room, darling. You can go almost anywhere in the house. Drago will tell you when you can't go into a room.
Luca cut deeply into his piece of chicken.
You can even go in the backyard if you like.
Admittedly, she didn't know that.
Still, you just expect me to stay here and do nothing for the rest of my life?
If she were able to cry, she would have.
I was going to college.
Setting down his fork, he pointed toward the living room's coffee table.
Do you see that laptop over there?
Chloe turned her head to see the silver laptop sitting there.
If you had come down today, you would have been told that I got all your Stanford classes changed to online courses. That laptop is yours, and you will find everything to complete your courses on it.
Shock was her only response.
He did that?
That was when she grasped just how long he planned to keep her here. Long enough for a semester, at least.
So, you do plan to keep me here for a while, don't you?
Yes, he told her like it was.
They're going to know something happened to me,
she whispered.
Luca shook his head. Who? Your parents, El? You left them behind when you decided to leave early to California. As far as they know, you got on the plane. I saw to it.
She was sure her parents were celebrating her leaving after she had left them a goodbye letter. They weren't coming to find her, but...
Elle, she will know something is wrong if I don't talk to her.
Reaching into his dark jeans pocket, he pulled out his cell phone and set it on the table. Her cell phone.
I've been texting her for you.
Her nails dug into her palms. No one would know the truth. No one would know that she wasn't a million miles away in California, but instead she was right here, in Kansas City, trapped.
Not my parents. Not my best friend, Elle. Not even...
He keeps calling you.
Luca's eyes turned blue to match his cold tone.
What does Amo have to be sorry for?
Chloe's mouth dropped open, remembering the first tear that had fallen in years after breaking Amo's heart just nights ago. She had killed their friendship after he had spilled his feelings for her, yet he was the one trying to apologize for something he had done years ago, something she had never judged him for.
He will come for me.
Luca's eyes got bluer, his tone colder.
No, he won't, Chloe. I promise you that.
Stumbling from the table, she ran as fast as her legs could take her up to her room. With each step she took, she was afraid he would snatch her up from behind until she slammed the door shut behind her. The invisible tears fell from her eyes, crying for her lost friends, her freedom, and the life she'd